Phoenix saw a spike in officer-involved shootings last year, 44 of them in 2018. It marked the most police shootings in the nation. A report released last month aimed to find out why, but while it didn't point to any single cause, it did suggest some ways to bring that number back down. Among them is to study mental health issues. This week on the show, we're looking at some of the issues of mental health and law enforcement. Earlier this week, we heard from Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego, who said police are often asked to take on too many roles, one that maybe a counselor should fill sometimes. So now let's turn to state lawmaker Jennifer Longden, who has been a longtime advocate for the disability and mental health community. Longden served on the city's Citizens Advisory Board on disability issues and says, while the city has taken some steps to work on this issue, there's a lot more we can do.
Well, first off, I have not yet read the report, but I don't think it would come to any surprise that anyone who works on these issues that I believe that in many cases, law enforcement is the wrong tool to be addressing individuals with mental health issues.
And they're often the ones who get the call, right? Like people are in a situation like this or see someone who's having a break of some kind and they'll call 911. And officers are the ones who respond. So then my question is sort of, is this about training from your perspective? What do you hear in terms of the point of view from the disability community about this?
Well, oftentimes calls will go out, and these will be nonviolent behaviors, but that someone is acting unusually, and folks will take that as a threat. And I think that, first off, we need to step back and take a look that there are a lot of things that are unusual or challenging to us as individuals that may not actually be a public safety issue. That aside, I think that absolutely we need better training for law enforcement. I think the city of Phoenix has taken some steps in that direction, even creating a Citizens Advisory Board for cross disability issues. I was the first chair of that a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more we can do.
What are those ideas? I mean, we had Mayor Kate Gallego on our show earlier this week talking about this, mm-hmm. and she said, you know, we need to look at staffing. Like, should police departments have mental health experts embedded with them to better help them handle those kinds of 911 calls? Should this be something where they're rerouted? Like, are there ideas out there from the disability community, from the mental health community that are in play here?
Well, Mayor Gallego is certainly on the right track with my thinking, and I think that there are some good models around the nation. I do believe law enforcement officers, I mean, their job involves showing up, determining has a crime been committed and who should I arrest? And I'm not saying that critically, that that's their job and that's mm-hmm. what we want them to do. We want to make sure that they go home safe and that the community members go home safe at the end of the day. But I'm not always certain that the demands of law enforcement are the right way to answer these calls. You know, these aren't going to happen quickly in many cases. They're not cut and dried. And many times, the idea that a law enforcement officer shows up in a uniform can be an exacerbating factor to some of these individuals. The other side of it is, I think, as law enforcement officers, they're taught to obtain compliance. That's their role, right? And when they give a lawful order that's not obeyed, they just see it that way. My job is to obtain your compliance. And so we need to find better ways in order to do that. And I couldn't be in more agreement with the mayor. I think that we need to look at figuring out a good model for adding the right tools to our law enforcement teams to deal with these issues.
So you were on that committee that the city formed, and that, I believe, was in response to the shooting of Michelle Cousseau, right, which sort of raised a bunch of these issues in the city of Phoenix involving mental health and how it is that police should respond to that, because she was a mentally ill person who apparently lifted mm-hmm. a hammer, right, to a police officer when they came to her door and then ended up being shot and killed. So from that point of view, like, especially when it comes to things like what was happening in that case, like, the police were there to take her in to get court-ordered treatment, right? Is that something that should be the role of police?
Well, I think that, you know, we need to separate the difference between violence and nonviolence. But an individual who is not currently being violent, I believe that certainly we have time. And if we can be patient and get the right folks around them, and the case that you're talking about, I believe that there were folks en route who believed that they might have been able to have gotten her compliance. Mm. and that the officers on scene felt a need to finish this case and move on. And I might be mischaracterizing that to some extent, but we need to avoid those kind of situations. We need to understand that when we're dealing with an individual who's in crisis, this isn't going to happen fast. We doubled our number of CIT-trained officers, crisis intervention officers, and those squads are doing good work, but we need more.
One thing I want to ask you about before I let you go is the stigma question around this. Like, when the conversation is about people with mental illness being the reason that there are more officer-involved shootings last year, does that contribute to the stigma around mental illness? Does it contribute to the narrative that people who have mental illness are somehow violent?
People with mental illness tend to be more likely to be victimized through acts of violence than to be violent themselves. And we do need to do more work around stigma where it comes to mental illness, disabilities of all types, and see them with a more accurate lens. And when we do that, we can make better decisions on how to interact with other members of our community.
Are there things that are missing from this conversation from your perspective?
I think the most important thing to bring to this conversation is the voice of those individuals who live with mental illness. And that may be individuals who have a diagnosed mental illness themselves or the folks that live around them, their family members, their caretakers, their advocates. We need to make sure that we center these voices in that conversation so that we're acting in the best interest of that community.
All right. State Representative Jennifer Longden, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lauren.